that works good. Amen. That means you're in agreement. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. We sure do. And how truth it really is. America. It's been on my heart, especially the last several weeks, just our condition of our land. And it seems like people are so blind. It's like, you know, cannot see that we are running at top speed right off the edge of a cliff. It really is. I mean, we're heading down a track and the bridge is out. Amen. And it's like, let's just keep going. Surely something will happen. And, buddy, we got to get off this track. Amen. We're heading down the wrong road. And it amazes me the moms and dads that don't see it. They can't see where their young people are heading. Moms and dads just can't see how this world is just eating them up and eating their families up. And listen, we need to get back to truth. And I know a lot of you know that. But knowing is one thing and then doing something about it's another. Amen. We need to hold out and stand up. Jeremiah, he stood up and cried out and cried aloud. And he wept over the nation of Israel. And we need to get back some of that here. And I'm thankful for how God has used America in the past. God used America in a great way to get the gospel throughout many parts of this world. And it's still using it. But it's a shame that today there's a lot of people coming to America to be missionaries because the need in America for truth is, I mean, we got churches on every hand. Seems like everybody says they know this, they know that. But there's not much God in America anymore, I'm afraid. But God's able. That's what I know. And that's what I'm holding to. But we just need to get back to the Lord. Do pray, as it come across my mind, as they were singing. They're about, you know, crossing the waters there. We've sent missionaries out. The Dassos, Stacy and Matthew, I think, fly out tomorrow night. And then Jennifer, the girls, fly out Wednesday night, I think. They're coming back over. This will be their first furlough. And we're excited about seeing the Dassos. They won't be with us until August, I think, somewhere around that area. They'll be up Northway for the first part. Then they'll be down here. And they're going to spend a whole day with us on one Sunday. We'll make a big day there. But do pray for them. And the prayer list is in there, of course. But do remember the ones that need a prayer. Remember Brother Cofty, if you will. Brother Cofty's son died of a massive heart attack Monday. And they'll be leaving out for Alabama tomorrow. And so just pray for Brother Cofty. I've already got a few cards. If you'd like to send Brother Cofty a card, if you just want to bring it here, we'll put it all in a big envelope and send it from here. Or you can send it yourself. It doesn't matter. However you like to do it. And then mentioned also, I think Wednesday night I mentioned it, Miss Jean's brother, Brother Spivey. He's preached here for us one time, Brother Luther. His house burnt. Pretty much lost everything, so just pray for him and the needs there. So again, a lot of needs, a lot of things going on, but amen. Right now is the greatest need. I just want to encourage you. Would you give me about 15, 20, 30 minutes the most? Would you just tune in everything this morning to what the Bible says? Forget about this afternoon. Forget about what else might be going on in your life. We all need some help this morning. We really do. And from the biggest to the smallest, whoever you might be, we need help. And I hope this morning you'll get some help here from the Word of God. Take your Bibles with us this morning to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. We were there two Sundays ago. I appreciate Brother Bryant being here Sunday and filling in for us. I appreciate him preaching. I heard you had great services, some say. We thank the Lord for that. And God's in the saving business. Had some saved Thursday night on visitation, I heard. So just got to get the gospel out to them. The book of Ruth. We looked a couple Sundays ago. We spent much time here in the book of Ruth, but God showed me something else that I want to just draw our minds to that ties into what we looked at last week, and we'll see more about it here in just a moment. Ruth chapter 4 this morning, Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4, if you found your place, and you can, let's stand together this morning out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. Ruth chapter 4, we'll read these scriptures together and we'll pray. We'll let you be seated here in just a moment. But we'll paint a picture here of the book of Ruth again for you that wasn't here a couple Sundays ago, or maybe you've forgotten already. But Ruth chapter 4, the Bible says, "Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, and whom he said, Ho, such a one, and turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was of her brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest a field in the land of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon the inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time of Israel for concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Verse 8, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe, and Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, again, God, for this wonderful day. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs. I appreciate, Lord, just, Lord, your spirit. God, I ask you this morning, God, once again, God, would you have all prevalent honor today? God, would you, God, be lifted up today? God, would you move in our midst today? God, you know every heart. God, you know every need. God, I pray today, God, Lord, that you would speak, not us. But God, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us today to see you high and lifted up. Help us today, God, save those that are lost. God, those that are saved, I pray, God, that you would just stir their hearts in these days, Lord. And we sure will thank you, Lord, for what you do. For us in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Again, Book of Ruth, what a wonderful book. We spent, if you was with us two Sundays ago, much time just driving around in this book. And just to give you sort of an idea again what we're looking at, we know that if you go back to chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, we sort of know how this thing starts. Naomi and Elimelech, they are living there in Bethlehem, Judea, in that place of bread. And a great famine came in the land, and they decided to pull up roots and move home. It's amazing. People even today do that same thing. They get out of whack a little bit. Something don't go their way. I talk to pastors all the time. People are so flippant today. You can't count on people like you used to. I'm thankful for you that have stuck in here, amen. We've seen many come, we've seen many go, but I'm glad we've got some that said, you know, I'm going to stay right here by the power of God. I'm not going to move. I'm going to stay here and toe the line. And I thank God for that. We need more of that. We need some backbone in our day that we will not be moved. We're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And, but we see Elimelech here, they make a decision. And with every decision, there's consequences, good or bad. And we know how they left. They went down there. They took their two sons. They go down there. Elimelech dies. The two sons get married. Marry women outside of where they should have married to begin with. Both boys die. And now Naomi's stuck there. And she don't have anybody. She don't have anything. Her husband's dead. Her two boys are dead. She don't have anything. Her life's pretty much a mess, it seems like. She gets word again that God had stirred the hearts again. God was at working again there back home. So she makes another decision. Now this time's a good decision. She decides to pack up and move back. Amen. Listen, this morning you might not be where you should be. Amen. You might have slid on God's scale a little bit. You might not be walking with the Lord like you used to. Hey, today would be a good time to get back up and say, hey, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to get back over there where I can get closer to the Lord and get back to God. And that's good for all of us this morning if we just be honest with. We're not all where we need to be. It's a continual floating line, amen? Hey, some days I feel better than others. Some days I feel a lot closer to God than others. Hey, every day I need God to help me to stay close unto Him. So we see that they pack up and they come back. And here Naomi and Ruth and Orf are walking down the road and Naomi looks at her daughter-in-law and says, look, y'all don't need to go with me. Y'all don't need to come where I'm going. Y'all just need to stay here with your people. I'm going back to nothing. I don't have anything to offer you. Y'all just stay here. And we know that there was some more decisions made. We know that her two daughter-in-laws made the decision. One decided to go. That was Ruth. To stay back or to stay with Naomi and go with her. Says that great statement there. Your God will be my God. What a great statement there. But then Orph made another decision. If you want to look at there in verse number 14 of chapter 1. It says that they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orph kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her, and she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God will be my God." What a great statement. I mean, Ruth didn't understand all, I believe, what she said there, but we see a great thing play out here in the book of Ruth. And again, so we know that Naomi and Ruth come back. Orph stays back there with her people and her gods. But they go back. Naomi goes back. People of the city say, "Hey, Naomi's back." And she says, "Hey, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." Why? Because she was bitter. Because she'd lost her husband. She lost all of her possessions. Life was a mess. She had two dead sons, had a dead husband, had two daughter-in-laws. One stayed back. One went with her. And we know the story just continues on. And we know how Ruth, she picks up and she goes out into the field to glean. They don't have anything. They go out to the field to glean. Ruth does. And we know how she's gleaning out there. And then Boaz comes on the scene. And we know how Boaz sees her and how he tells his workmen, says, "Hey, I want you to leave a little handfuls of purpose." Praise God. I'm glad God's got some handfuls of purposes along the way. Hey, I'm glad that when it seems like the times are tough and things are hard, every once in a while God will just open up the windows of heaven and breathe upon us just a little bit and just encourage us to go on down the road. And that's what we see here, that God was working here. And then we come into chapter 3, and boy, I love chapter 3. We spent some great time there that Wednesday, and we see the working of God and how we see the plan of redemption starting to work here. And Ruth says, "Hey, Naomi, I want you to go down. Boaz is going to be down there at the threshing floor. And I want you to go down there tonight and lay yourself down at his feet. And when he realizes who you are, this is what I want you to do." And we know how it comes back to verse number 16. Again, that's one of my favorite verses of chapter 3. It says there, he says, when she came to her mother-in-law after she'd been with Boaz, Boaz had talked to her. Things, if you back up, you can see verse 11 says, "Now my daughter, fear not, I will do." He's talking about, I'll redeem you. He says, "I'm going to take care of you." And then verse 16, she comes back home. She says, when she came to her mother-in-law, which would be Naomi, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. Verse 17, and she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said, 'Go, not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Verse 18, boy, I like this too. Then said Naomi to her, says, "Then said she, 'Sit still, my daughter, until now, and know that the matter will fail, for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day.'" And boy, what a picture of the working of Christ. Amen. Hey, I can sit here this morning, not just sitting on my seat of do nothing, but I can go through this world realizing that God is at work. Even when I don't know what he's doing, he's still doing something. Hey, I've not given up on people. I'm not giving up on my family. I'm not giving up on my friend. I'm not giving up on you this morning. You might be sitting here lost, undone. You might have religion. You might be putting on a face. You might think everybody says I'm all right. But friend, this morning, we're not giving up on you. We're going to keep telling you truth. We're going to keep loving you. We're going to keep preaching to you. We're going to try to keep God right in front of you and just keep on down the road. But what a great picture of the plan of redemption. Then we see chapter 4 comes into play and how all this thing comes about. And so we've looked a lot about the thought of redemption. What does that mean? Today, again, it doesn't mean what it ought to most people. We hear that word. We sing that word. We talk about that thought of I've been redeemed. But what is redemption? The word redemption, as I gave you the definition, it means to buy back or to repurchase, to free from what distress or harms, to change for the better, repair or restore. And this morning, you'll be just like the nation of Israel when the Lord's talking to them and he says, you know, I'll make you free, over in the book of John, I think it is. And they said, "What do you mean? We're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage." See, most people this morning, the problem is, especially in our day, most people this morning, you're sitting here thinking, "I'm okay. I got a job. I got money. I got a car. I got a house. I got food. I'm okay. I don't need nothing." That's where most people are this morning. This reason it's hard to talk to people about getting saved, because they have that same attitude. Saved from what? And as we looked this past Wednesday night, as we talked about the thought of a soul, listen to me, friend, this morning, it's not about your flesh. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the possessions in this world, and you'll still die, physically and spiritually. You can have a good attitude. You can be very motivated. You can be happy, 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 and still die and bust hell wide open. See, this morning the problem is there's a need of a redemption. Just as we see Naomi. I like what Job said in Job chapter 19, verse 25. We read this verse to you. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth. My Redeemer liveth. Job, he lost everything. He lost his family. He lost the relationship with his wife there for a period of time. He lost his health. His life was a wreck. But Job knew where his strength come from. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Friend, this morning you need to understand, if you're saved this morning, we need to understand we've been bought back, we've been rebought, we've been purchased, we've been restored through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might be sitting here this morning, you might cross your arms, you might hold your head up and say, well, I'm just like that rich man, I'm going to tear down my barns, I'm going to build bigger, I'm good. I don't need nothing. I don't need what you got, I'm all right. But to be honest with you, I believe there's something down the depths of your heart. When you lay yourself down at night and rooms get dark and things in this world are quiet, I believe there's things in people's hearts tonight. They'll be there tonight, and I believe there's some here this morning that you know you're not all right. Boy, I'm glad this morning I understand there's a peace that passeth all understanding. I'm glad that I can lay my head down at night and know that my soul is okay. Amen. What about you? A redeemer. Somebody that'll buy you just like you are. Now, I gave an illustration about redemption with the coal mine. How, again, I've never been down in one. Don't care to go down in one. I don't have no desire to go down in a mine. I worked with a guy that was a maintenance guy at a mine. He talked about how they would go miles back in them mountains down in the ground. But when that thing caves in and the only way out is that way and you're down here, you can dig around and dig around and dig around, but there's going to come a time when you're going to finally say there's no hope. If somebody don't come from above, I'm not getting out of this thing. That's exactly where I was as a 13-year-old boy. I was religious. I had a good mom and daddy. I hadn't done a lot of bad things. I'm still a sinner, though. God showed me I was down in the depths of that mine, and I needed help, and the only way out was going to have to come from above. That's redemption. So we see this great picture of redemption this morning. And I brought out in Ruth chapter 4, again, if you look there in verse number 4, Boaz knew that Naomi had a kinsman that was nearer than he was. And by the law, it was his responsibility. It was his right first. And Boaz calls the near kinsman to him, and he talks to him and says, hey, Naomi's got some land, and she's going to get rid of it. And you're the kinsman redeemer, and you can buy it. And he says, look with it. He says in verse number 4, and I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. And we looked a lot of times this morning, or other Sunday morning at this stall. There's a lot of things in this world that's going to grab your attention. There's going to be wealth. There's going to be popularity. There's going to be friendships. There's going to be romances. There's going to be all kinds of things that says, hey, I'm going to take care of you. There's nothing to worry about. And that's exactly what we see here. And that's what the devil wants you to believe this morning. He'll take care of you. You're all right. I'll redeem you. But then notice again, we looked at it, and he said, then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field that is in the hands? Verse 5, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the names of the dead upon the inheritance. Notice what happened in verse number 6. Verse 4, he said, I'll buy it, I'll redeem it. Verse 6 says, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it. And we spent some time looking at when you get down to the end of life, when you get to the place where you're getting ready to cross over into death, that faithful servant of God, when you're getting ready to step out into eternity, oh God, did I not go to church? Guess what? Church can't redeem you. Oh God, was I not faithful in these little things? And God says, no. Matthew chapter 7, we looked at it Wednesday night. I never knew you. That Redeemer says, I'll take your land. I'll take your possessions. When he found out he had to take the people, he says, I can't do it. And this morning, you might be trusting in something this morning that's not of God. You might be trusting in something this morning that's not through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you might think, well, I'm all right. But when you get down to the end of the road, you're going to find out whatever that thing was, it won't redeem you. He didn't say that I won't. He says, I can't. Why? Because there's only one way to heaven.
Right.
Now, preacher, you know that ain't right. That's the mentality of most people today. Just do this or do that. No, the Bible still says there's only one way. And I believe that with all my heart. And that way is Jesus Christ. He's that door. So we see here this morning of redemption. And we know what a great picture we saw here. And then verses 8 and 9, after we find out that the world and religion and all these things can't redeem you, old then Boaz comes up and says, hang on a minute. Since you can't do it, I will do it. And Boaz, we see that great transaction there in verses 8 and 9. He took off that shoe and the transaction was made there. And thank God one day at Calvary, amen, there was a transaction made and I've been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we see the wonderful thought of redemption this morning. But what I want to draw our attention to this morning is verse number 9, because I see something wonderful that I want you to see this morning if you've never seen it before. And what a great picture. We've looked at redemption. And listen to me, friend, this morning, I don't care who you are. If you're saved this morning, you've been redeemed. It's the only way you're going to get in. But there's this thing that I see here, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too quick. This morning, if you're lost, you've been redeemed. What? Let me show it to me this morning. There's a wonderful part of redemption here. Notice in verse number 8 again, it says, therefore the kinsman said unto the Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought. Now I want you to look with me. I have bought all. See it? I have bought all that was who? Elimelech's. Alright, you see it? And all. See that little word? All. That was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Two things I want to show you real quick this morning. I'm done. About this wonder of redemption. Now I want you to think in your mind, I see two great things that take place here. First of all, Boaz, as that transaction is made there at the gate of the city, just as that transaction was made at Calvary, as the Lord Jesus Christ cried out, it is finished. Hey, he paid the price. He paid the price for who? The world, amen. And we see here a price was paid here for redemption. Boaz, that kinsman redeemer, he buys back not only what was Elimelech's, but he also buys back what was of Chilion's and Mahlon's. What does that tell you, preacher? Well, first of all, I see that he bought all that was Elimelech. Who was Elimelech? He was Naomi's husband. Who was he? He was a Jew, amen. And I think, praise God, God's not done with the Jew, amen. Go back over to Romans chapter 9, 10 through there. You see the promises to the Jew. God has got a work for his children, the Jews, and they're going to have a place in that place called heaven, and God's not through with them, amen. So God did a work not only for the Jew, though, not only for Elimelech, but notice what he says. And all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's. What do you see? Well, we know that Chilion and Mahlon married who? Ruth and Orph. Who were they? Moabites. Not only did he buy back something for Elimelech's sake, he bought something back for those two Moabites. Not only did God do a work for the Jew, but he also did a work for the Gentile. You see where I'm saying? This wonder of redemption. What a price that Boaz did there. So what do we see? Two things. First of all, I see the whosoever of redemption. He paid a price for all that was Elimelech's. He paid a price for all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's. three things about that whosoever. Well, I like John chapter 3, of course, that's one of the most popular places in the Bible probably. But that whosoever of redemption, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Praise God for the who's. Hey, I'm a whosoever type preacher, amen. Hey, I believe this morning, just as we saw a picture of redemption through Boaz, hey, I believe this morning there's one greater than Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I can stand up, I can go to a door, I can go to the workplace, I can go to the schoolhouse, I can go wherever in this world God might take me, and I can give them a track, I can give them the Word of God, and say, hey, you need to be redeemed, and somebody has paid your price. Whosoever. Romans 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Hey, I'm glad this morning it's not an American thing. I'm glad this morning it's not a racial thing. I'm glad this morning it's a whosoever thing. Now I want you to think about what that means, whosoever. Whosoever, I believe, means however. What do you mean, preacher? Just as we see here what the Boaz did here in redemption, not only for Elimelech, but also for Mahlon and Chilion's possessions. Whosoever means however. However you are this morning, God wants you. See, this morning we talk about whosoever, but let's draw it a little bit closer. Whosoever is a real broad type terminology. But boy, this morning I'm glad I am a whosoever. You're a whosoever. But not only are a whosoever, but that whosoever is however. However you are this morning, God will take you. What do you mean, preacher? Oh, you run over there to Mark chapter 5. We ain't got time to run the scriptures this morning, but Mark chapter 5, we know how the Lord Jesus Christ and disciples cross over the sea. When the ship lands, we know how that maniac of Gadara come running out there. He was a maniac. He was demon-possessed. He was in out of his mind. The Bible says that chains would not hold him. He was running naked through the tombs. Guess what? Jesus was going to be a redemption for a whosoever, however he found him. Hey, he found a crazy man running naked. But it was still a whosoever. Hey, friend, this morning, however you are this morning, God wants you. You might be sitting here and think, God don't want me. Oh, if you only knew. Oh, God does know. Whosoever means however. Can I say also this morning, whosoever means whenever? Oh, it's too late, preacher. I've gone too far. You know when it's too far for God? When you take your last breath. How you know that, preacher? Well, I'm reminded of a man on a cross one day. There was three that day, actually. There was one in the middle. That was Jesus. On both sides were two men, both thieves. One mocked God. The other one said, today, would you remember me? When you come into that place, will you remember me? And Jesus said, today, that will be with me in paradise. Hey, friend, this morning, I wouldn't play Russian roulette, though. Hey, I wouldn't wait till that place. It might happen really quick. Brother Coffey's son, 54, 55 years old, cutting up a tree Monday morning, had a mass heart attack, dead. You might not make it home. You might not make it next week. Ah, oh, preacher, I'm young. Young die. See, God is a whosoever God. Boaz paid a great price for not only what he saw, but what he didn't see. This morning, thank God that God paid a price for the world. It's a whosoever, which means however. It means whenever. The Bible says, call upon the Lord while he's near. Oh, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Oh, preacher, if I get saved, that means, oh, if you only knew what that meant. It means you'll be saved and on your way to a glorious place. Not only does whosoever mean however or whenever, but praise God, it means wherever. Wherever. Think about the prodigal son. You might think you're somewhere God don't know where you're at. Well, that prodigal son, he left home, spent all his daddy's money, made a mess out of things, went down there and lived it up, thought he had everything good, had all his friends as long as he had money, but one day came, the money left, and so did the friends. Guess where he found himself? Down at the lowest place of his life, down in that pig pen. Wherever you're at this morning, do you understand where you're at this morning? You're standing at a crossroads. You're going to make decisions just like Naomi and Elimelech made decisions. You're going to make decisions just like Ruth and Orph made decisions. You're going to make decisions today either to trust Christ or deny Christ. Whosoever, however, whenever, wherever. So I see this morning this great wonder of redemption. Boaz sat there at the gate, took his shoe off and says, I will buy it. I'll redeem it. But not only am I going to redeem Naomi's and Elimelech's, but I'm going to buy and redeem Chilion's and Mahlon's, Ruth and Orph. Now I want you to think just a moment. Now, that was exciting to two people that day. Can you imagine old Naomi? Naomi came back home, didn't have nothing. Husband's dead, two boys are dead. She's bitter. But she's seen something begin to transpire. She's seen Boaz beginning to work in the hearts of Ruth. And we see Ruth go there in chapter 3 and lay herself down at the feet of Boaz. And we see this great plan of redemption begin to work. And if you follow on through, you see in chapter 4 what took place after this great buying back. We see how God took Naomi and took Ruth from a place of bitterness and a place of nothing to be married and hooked up with Boaz to a place of once a pauper to now a child of a king. Oh, what a great blessing. Can you imagine what must have been going through Ruth's mind? No longer am I going to have to go out there and try to skim around in the fields. Naomi says, no longer am I going to have to go out and just be all bitter and hateful and just have a terrible spirit. What a great change took place that day. What a wonder of redemption. Praise God, I remember the day when I realized God had bought me. But this is the second thing. I see the wonder of redemption. But the thing I want you to understand as we get ready to leave, not only did Boaz pay redemption for Naomi, not only did Boaz pay redemption for Ruth, but he also paid redemption for Orph. You see that? Look at it. I ain't telling you a lie. Look at it. Look at verse 9. Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. See, this morning we sit here, thank God I'm redeemed. You might be here this morning and you don't even realize what you need. God might be spurring your heart right now. You know you're not saved. You're not ready to die. You're not ready to meet God. You've never given your heart and life to Him. But I want you to think just for a moment. How many Orphs are they sitting here this morning? How many Orphs are sitting around our county this morning? How many of them sitting around your neighborhood today? How many of them is going to be around the workplace or the schoolhouse this week? What do you mean, preacher? Now, let's draw our mind. Let's reel back a little bit. Let's go all the way back to chapter 1. Naomi decides she's going back home. Orph and Ruth both start following after Naomi. And Naomi says, look, y'all need to go back to your gods and your people. Right? Yeah. Ruth says, no. I'm going with you. Your people are going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. And we know how the story ends out. But that same day, there was another young lady that day by the name of Orph. She wept and cried, hugged her neck, kissed him, and said goodbye. Went back to the house with her people. Went back to the house with their gods. Now, I just wonder this morning. I don't know what transpired with Orph. Don't have a clue. Nobody else does either. The only thing I do know, according to Ruth chapter 4, somebody, and that somebody being Boaz, said, I'm going to buy you. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to give you something you don't even realize what you're getting. I wonder this morning if Orph ever understood. I wonder if Orph ever was told. I wonder if Orph ever knew that somebody had paid a price for her. So you might be sitting even in church this morning and you don't really understand that somebody, not the preacher, I can't do it. Not mom and daddy, they can't do it. You yourself can't even get out of this thing. Oh, but just as Boaz bought Naomi, just as Boaz bought Ruth, Boaz bought Orph. And you might be sitting here this morning and you don't even realize that you've been redeemed. All you got to do is trust Him. I wonder how many people around our world today will never know that a price has been paid that they could have eternal life. Do you see it? Boaz paid a great price. Boy, Naomi enjoyed that price. Ruth enjoyed the blessings of being... Look at Ruth's life. My goodness. How she went from a Moabitess to having that lineage of David. What a wonder how God can take a nothing and, boy, make a something. Are you Orph this morning? Are you sitting back not really understanding, wait a minute, I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to live this way anymore. Somebody has paid my debt. I wonder if anybody ever told her. I wonder if she ever knew. I wonder if anybody will ever go tell my neighbor, my friend, my family. I wonder if they'll ever know the wonder of redemption. Oh, how we enjoy the bliss of God. But I just want you to understand there's some orphs out there. They've been redeemed. But I just wonder if anybody's ever told them. Let's stand together this morning.